Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. You know, we could just run recorded audio for the next hour here. But, man, yesterday I was like, man, we had all these great people come by the show here at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. They got some photos with our Tatanka Cigar Company sign that we've got here at our Montana Talks booth. We got an 82 Coffee Company banner and some swag in route here later this morning. But, man, we had so many great guests, but I was like, man, we could have heard more from John Jackson yesterday. We wanted more John Jackson on the microphone time. So, John, good to see you this morning.
Good morning. We are the only people here, the only people broadcasting, the first of the Mohicans here every morning.
And, of course, Jim over here, man, he's holding down the fort. He beat us to the punch even this morning here. So they got a great crew supporting us here at this SHOT Show. Man, it was cool. Last night, I went to the Montana reception once again, saw all the great Montana folks that were there. And then I was just kind of like, okay, man, it was only like 7 o'clock or 6:30 or something. I'm like, I'm going to just go. It was a long day. We had the governor's panel, the attorney's general forum, and I was cruising around talking to people. I'm like, I'm just going to go get a steak and some broccoli next door and then call it a night. Well, then I run into some great Montanans. I end up at the Daniels Defense, like, VIP party. That was incredible. I got to meet some incredible people there. Oh, I was going to text you. Dana Lash was at the VIP party, so she was there just briefly. I didn't get a chance to say hi to her. But, Dana Lash, nationally syndicated host, was there as well.
You can imagine there's probably not another media personality out there in all of media that is so intrinsically connected to the firearms industry as Dana Lash. I mean, and she's been doing it for, you know, for 20 years. So, I mean, you got to imagine everybody here wants to see her, wants her to be a part of their thing. You know?
She walked by a couple of times. I was sitting here getting some stories on our Montana Talks website here at our booth on Media Road. Yeah, she walked by. Oh, it was really cool, too. So that FBI guy you were talking trash about yesterday, and then I came over here, he was talking trash about you, so I can't wait till this trash talk breaks out on the air here later this morning. Now, he's a great guy. He lives in Livingston, but he's got his son with him here, too. Retired counterterrorism FBI guy from back in the day. He's like, I got out before all the stupidity really got going, but John will disagree on that front, but that's going to be fun. But
did you get out before 1985?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
anyway, so I came down here to meet a MARSOC, Marine Corps veteran, a Marine Special Operations veteran who lives in Billings. He was working on the campaign trail for the Republicans this last election. Great guy, him and his girlfriend, I believe, were both working for the Republicans in the campaign. Great people, but yeah, MARSOC Marine. So I come to meet him and an outfitter, Army Ranger veteran from Billings, and great guy. Got to meet yesterday, and I come down here. And so, you know, we're all in this gaggle, right? You got FBI guy over here, you got Army Ranger guy over here, you got Marine Special Ops guy over here, and then just little old me in the middle. Well, all of a sudden, Matt Best, you know, Black Rifle Coffee Company that makes all the funny videos, he comes walking by, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting a picture with this guy. Like, I had the celebrity out on Matt Best a little bit. Well, Matt Best, like, knows all these guys. He's like, hey, sweet, what's up, man? You know, he knows the Marine guy, because I guess the Marine guy from Billings was an instructor of a course.
Listen.
So, like, he's like, Matt, oh, anyway, more after this. I think, oh, I heard some interruption there. All right, quick break. We'll be back right after, what, 3, 2, 1? I don't have any.
Here's a look at my clock. Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see sunshine and some increasing clouds across the area later today. High stay around 30 in Bozeman to the mid-30s in Billings. For tonight, cloudy skies with some light snow showers developing overnight as temperatures fall off to about 17 in Bozeman, 23 in Billings. Now, with some areas of light snow into Friday, accumulations up to an inch or two expected around the region. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams standing alongside NYPD top brass in an East Harlem police precinct, announcing that 20,000 illegal firearms have been taken off the streets under his watch since 2022. The seizures of illegal guns, 3,000 more than were taken off New York City streets in the previous three-year period. That on top of other crime fighting and safety initiatives that he says have led to double-digit declines of shootings and homicides.
That means we saved 268 additional lives and seen 1,500 fewer shooting victims. The year may be new, but our priorities are still the same. Keep New Yorkers safe by getting guns off the streets.
Adams says last year was the fourth lowest year for shooting incidents since the city began tracking in the 1990s. Gun arrests also up 8% compared to 2019 through 2021. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, are you...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John, we've got some very sad news that just came in. Breaking news from the New York Times just came in. Flags, well, they're already at half staff for like the next. Did we stop the half staff, half mass thing finally? It's like, do we really need 30 days to like, come on, you know? Anyway, the breaking news, CNN will cut 200 jobs in traditional TV and hire the same number for digital roles as the network's boss plots an overhaul for a new Trump era. So 200 jobs in TV to be like, well, now you're going to be CNN online, you know, and you know they're not going to get paid squat to do CNN digital stuff. But didn't we see this before, John, where Chris Wallace, you know, got canned somehow from Fox News Sunday finally, and he... And then he goes and does something for CNN, and they're like, well, we're going to move him over to CNN Plus.
That was CNN Minus, because they nutted that right off the bat.
And even that didn't last long. So this is like the slow way to move people out to pasture. Like, you know, we're basically getting rid of you, but we're not going to just come out and say it right now. We're going to do the slow goodbye. This is like the... This is like for those of you who watched Friends back in the day. Yeah. Hey Janice, I'll call you. You know, this is CNN saying, hey Janice, we'll call you.
Oh, I mean, that's the feel-good story of the day right there, Aaron. CNN. But see, the weird thing about it is, you remember back during the first Trump administration, that was when these networks like CNN and MSNBC hit their highest ratings ever because they drew in all the Looney Tunes that wanted to hear every day the lie of the day they were going to tell about Orange Man Bad. So it's kind of odd that right now going into the second Trump term that they're firing people.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, it's like now Rachel Maddow's back for 5 days a week. And even at 7 Alive is mocking Rachel Maddow's coverage, you know. Like they can't even get through, you know, a 2-minute segment without, wait a minute, we just got something else that just came in from Donald Trump. But I don't even think their people even care anymore. It's like your whole shtick, everybody sees through it. And even your own lefties are like, guys, like, you got us all whipped into a frenzy, and then now they're all, anyway, so it's just kind of funny to just see how they think that Donald Trump could be a return. This tells us, to your point, that CNN knows that they're not going to get a TV ratings boost off of Trump this time, like they did the last time. It's like, yeah, Jim Acosta, like, the shtick ain't working this time around.
He's getting moved to midnight. Did you hear that?
I don't know. Yeah, so I didn't know he's still on the air on CNN.
He's getting moved to the friggin' midnight shift.
Yeah. While we're doing some random starts here in the 6 o'clock hour Montana time, 5 o'clock hour Vegas time, so you were just pulling up X. You said, hey, did you see this? So tell us the Afghan refugee story. Do you still got it in front of you here?
Oh, yeah. Turns out a Michigan refugee worker is in critical condition right now in the hospital after being stabbed in the leg by an Afghan refugee that he settled.
I shouldn't be laughing at this, but it's just like you just... Oh, look at me. I'm bringing all these people to America. I'm the best person ever. My dad would always joke, like, if there was a guy who really thought he was cool stuff, my dad would be like, well, he's the coolest guy he knows. It's like, this guy was the coolest guy he knows, probably.
He's a legend in his own mind.
Yeah, like, hey, look at me. Look at how great I am. I'm bringing all these people. And then he gets, you know, like what has happened to the left all across America, they get stabbed by the very monster they created. They get bitten by the very monster they created, you know, with these rioters and shoplifters and everything.
Aaron, you can take the boy out of the mud hut, but you can't take the mud hut out of the boy. That's just an axiom. It's a truth.
That reminds me, there was a story, which liberal TV outlet had this, or was this on the Billings Gazette, maybe? I can't remember, but... the people that want to bring all the so-called refugees. Now, I say so-called refugees because, look, if there's a good dude from Afghanistan that actually, you know, saved your life, that was on our, you know, on our side and wasn't just playing the game, then, yes, like, let's get those guys that have been vetted out of Afghanistan and here in America. But somehow those guys got left behind and get all these other people like, oh, where did these people come from? And Joe Biden, they were calling anybody a refugee. So they were just saying, oh, yeah, here's a little card. You're legal now. And they were just so they could claim that these people were here on legal status when it was an abuse of the refugee process, an abuse of the asylee process. But you know, there's a group of people that want to bring a bunch of the so-called refugees, Venezuela, wherever, into Billings, Montana. There was a story in one of the liberal outlets that they were like that these people are very, very saddened and maybe even angered by Donald Trump's latest executive actions, because he's not just given a, you get to be a refugee, you get to be a refugee. He's not doing the Oprah thing on the southern border.
It's that the temporary protected status. And there's so many, our immigration law is so full of these massive loopholes because we wanted to be a caring country and take care of people when it warranted it. But I don't think the people that ever wrote those immigration laws ever considered an anti-American communist scumbag like Joe Biden being in charge of it and using those giant loopholes to just flood the country with the scum of the third world.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody ever thought that.
Yeah, here we go, John. Here's the headline you will love. This is from the Montana Television Network, and they quote the people in Missoula, too. Montana refugee program fearing drastic cutbacks following Trump executive order. It's too bad. It's just too bad.
Hurts me to hear that.
Too bad. You know, when we've got, you know, housing prices are so low in Montana right now, and the schools aren't too crowded in Billings. So, I mean, they've got room for people.
Oh, yeah. Come on in. Vegas lights on.
Yeah. Good night. All right. Back after this. Live from Vegas. Live from the SHOT Show.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Is it deja vu all over again? Heard of the talk about cold fusion or room temperature superconductors? We always seem to be hearing about some revolution in technology that never actually gets here. But we're doing it again in our upcoming Economic Outlook seminars for one simple reason. It's already arrived. Many of you use it today, artificial intelligence or AI. Perhaps I even used it to write this. I'll never tell. And the trillions being poured into AI make it a force to be recognized in the coming years. The question is, what does it mean for the economy, especially here in Montana? The idea that we're an island that can safely ignore or dodge this question is fanciful. Montana companies who don't use AI for marketing, strategy, operations, hiring, or any of the dozens of processes it's radically changing will be at a disadvantage to those who do. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Be careful what you wish for. President Trump is back in the White House. His reward? Tangling with congressional Republicans who clash. The president has a tighter grip on the Republican Party than when he left town in January 2021. In 2017, Mr. Trump spoke of what he termed American carnage. Now he's aiming to usher in a new golden age for the nation. He's securing early wins with Democrats helping Republicans pass the Laken Riley Act. But deporting millions of illegal immigrants could prove to be a challenge and burn significant political capital. Plus, GOP infighting over taxes and cutting spending likely emerges as a battle royale, delaying passage of what the president termed a, quote, big, beautiful bill. Florida Democrat Jared Moskowitz says to expect Democrats to execute more targeted resistance to Trump 2.0 than the last time, when they opposed everything. And Moskowitz notes that with a narrow House majority, Republicans may need to lean on Democrats. Believe it or not, winning the White House was easy. And now the hard part begins. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
The Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Wayne Nordlund. Looking to international grain news this morning, Russia's grain production suffered significantly in 2024 due to heat, drought, and harsh spring freeze, per a report from the Bank of Finland Institute for Emerging Economies. Russia's grain output fell 14% from the 2023 record, with wheat production down 16% to 82 million metric tons. Other crops in Russia, like maize, barley, and sugar beets, also declined around 20%, with potato yields dropping 10%. Extreme heat in July, with temperatures exceeding 95 degrees for weeks in key growing regions, compounded the drought's impact. Russia's spring freezes in May also saw lows of 24 degrees, stunted wheat growth, leaving crops vulnerable to summer's harsh conditions. Because of this, Russia's wheat exports for 2025 are now projected to drop over 60%, with quotas set at less than 11 million metric tons. That's down from 29 million metric tons last year, which is good news for U.S. wheat producers. Concerns are now focusing on the 2025 Russian wheat crop, which faces risks from limited snow cover and potential cold snaps, jeopardizing estimates of an 80 million metric ton harvest, similar to the 2024 levels. Again, bearish news for U.S. wheat producers. Looking to price-fixing news now, as Russell Nimitz shared yesterday afternoon, Cargill has agreed to a $32.5 million settlement in a class-action lawsuit alleging price-fixing in the turkey industry. The 2019 lawsuit accuses major turkey producers, including Butterball, Hormel, and Jennie-O, of conspiring to manipulate prices by exchanging production and pricing data via AgriStats, a co-defendant. The settlement, pending final approval in the U.S. District Court for Northern Illinois, includes Cargill's cooperation to support claims against other processors. Combined with a $4.6 million settlement from Tyson in 2022, total settlements now reach $37.13 million. Settlement amounts were based on market share, with Cargill holding 20 to 21% of the turkey market.
Hi, this is Chandler Gould, National Association of Wheat Growers CEO. The 2025 Commodity Classic is headed to Denver, Colorado in March, and I'd like to personally invite you to join fellow wheat growers for America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agriculture and education experience. Not to mention, it's the closest it's ever been to your farm, making it even easier for you to attend. Informative speakers on timely topics, cutting-edge ag technology in the industry's largest trade show, and more. Visit commodityclassic.com today.
Montana Farmers Union's annual women's conferences are coming up in early 2025. With opportunities to expand your skills, your network, and education that will benefit you back on the family farmer ranch, we hope you can join us either in Malta, January 31st to February 2nd, or at Fairmont Hot Springs, February 7th through the 9th. We look forward to cultivating relationships with rural and agricultural women and organizational leaders who want to grow a bright future for all ladies in ag. To learn more and reserve your conference spot today, visit MontanaFarmersUnion.com.
Yesterday, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association announced the appointment of key leaders to its policy committees, with many coming from Western Ag Network country, including Jeff Schaefer of North Dakota, chairing the Ag and Food Policy Committee. Vice chair of that committee is South Dakota's Eric Jennings. Chairing the Federal Lands Committee is Alyssa Ogden of New Mexico. Vice chair of that committee is Leslie Robinson of Montana. Also chairing the Live Cattle Marketing Committee is Mike Drennan of Nebraska. And the chair of the Property Rights and Environmental Management Committee is Barb Cooksley, also of Nebraska. These leaders will help shape policy and advocate for cattle producers across the country, the organization said. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, here we are back to it here with the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Let me close out a couple of things on my computer here just so I make sure I don't impact our signal for our audio feed. All right, let's see. John, what else? You had a bunch of stuff scribbled on your little yellow notepad yesterday that we never even got to because we had so much great content for day one of our SHOT Show coverage.
Well, the one thing that broke yesterday that was very interesting, and we kind of talked about this on our podcast and Spaces, is now Trump has given, as of yesterday, immigration authority out to the ATF, the Marshals, and the DEA. Now that brings your, that's like a force multiplier for your ICE people and Border Patrol. Now they've got Marshal Service, ATF, and DEA at their disposal too. And now when those guys, they can actually join in with ICE on joint operations, or when they're out on their individual operations and come across illegals, which they do every day, you can take them into custody for that charge and then turn them over to ICE to be out to country. It is a beautiful thing.
Lightbrows and Harden just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Just heard that the New York mayor said that they had taken 20,000 illegal firearms off the street. Were they undocumented, he says? Too bad they can't do that with migrants. Oh, they'll be doing that pretty soon here, though. They'll be doing that pretty soon if they haven't. I was just checking in, you know, kind of late getting to some show prep here this morning, making sure the equipment's ready to roll and everything. But I just saw, let's see, I mean, even like the New York Times had a big story about how they had, where they had to admit that Donald Trump's basically securing America with the work he's already doing on the southern border. The Trump War Room calling it the Trump effect. Allie Bradley with News Nation says the Border Patrol had less than 500 encounters. I think this was yesterday. Less than 500 encounters. Encounter numbers at the southern border have plummeted in President Trump's first days back in office, according to data obtained through DHS sources who tell Allie Bradley, quote, this is what it is supposed to look like. Welcome to the Trump effect. So you're already seeing a massive number in encounters, meaning the people who are trying to come in here and sneak in here because they're not just being allowed to just walk across the freaking border like Joe Biden. And I'm going to say his name again because accountability matters, and they need to know that Montana Democrats were a part of this mess too. It wasn't just because of Joe Biden. It was because of Democrats like John Tester. That 21 million is what they think now are the total number of illegal aliens that flooded into this country. Montanans need to know that Montana Democrats were a major reason why this flood of illegal aliens, why this invasion happened. It was because it was with the Montana Democrat Party's support every single stinking step of the way. Let's see. We'll get to the Fox News update here in about 10 seconds, and then we'll be back with you in about 60 seconds here. Yeah, if you want to send us a message on the Montana Talks app, great way to communicate with us while we're down here. Of former President Joe Biden, former President Joe Biden. Just, it's good to say that, isn't it? Isn't that, John? It's just good to hear those words. So Donald Trump did an exclusive sit-down interview with Sean Hannity in the Oval Office. Let me see here. Let me cue this clip up from the Trump War Room here. President Trump roasts crooked Joe Biden's final days in office. This is part of the Sean Hannity exclusive interview in the Oval Office last night.
And Chuck Schumer, Adam Schiff, who got a preemptive pardon, all these people that got pardoned, Anthony Fauci, did he know that NIH money through the EcoHealth Alliance was funding the Wuhan Virology Lab? There seems to be texts and messages and emails that went back and forth. You talk about the Unselect Committee, as you call it, the January 6th Committee. They had a predetermined outcome. General Milley, all these people, the Biden family members, Joe Biden ran and said he would never do preemptive pardons. It was an issue that came up when you were leaving your first time.
Oh, he thought, he heard that I was going to do it. I didn't want to do it. I was given the option. They said, sir, would you like to pardon everybody, including yourself? I said, I'm not going to pardon anybody. We didn't do anything wrong. And we had people that suffered. They're incredible patriots. We had people that suffered. You had Bannon put in jail. You had Peter Navarro put in jail. You had people that suffered. And far worse than that, they've lost their fortunes. They've lost their whatever their nest egg, paying it to lawyers. And those people, and people said, you know, and they don't even, they wouldn't have even taken, most of those people, they wouldn't have even taken a pardon. This guy went around giving everybody pardons. And you know, the funny thing, maybe the sad thing, is he didn't give himself a pardon.
And there were some other people. He didn't even pardon Mayorkas, I think.
Yeah. That's the one I like. I like that. But there's a lot of evil actors in that whole scheme and a lot of people that deserve to be gone after. But those two, you got Fauci and Mayorkas that got to go. I mean, Fauci's got his pardon, but we can still drag him in front of congressional committees, drag him in front of grand juries, go after him for the slightest lie under oath now, post Joe Biden's presidency. I mean, Aaron, this guy, his research that he was conducting against the rules over there in China that he then lied about under oath, killed millions of people, and we're just going to let him walk?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. No, there's other ways. Well, one thing that got brought up in this attorney's general forum yesterday, who was it? Was it the attorney general out of Missouri? He did say, well, you know, none of these people, because somebody referenced all the last minute pardons by Joe Biden, said, well, he couldn't pardon him for any state level crimes.
There you go.
And so, but hey, speaking of attorneys general, let's talk about that AG's forum. I got to go to it yesterday afternoon here at the Venetian for the SHOT Show. I've got some highlights. Our own Attorney General Austin Knutson was there as well.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, we're going to do this old school here for just a few minutes. I am restarting my broadcast equipment. Caden, let me know if my audio levels are okay here. I think it's my laptop. The internet seems to be strong down here. It's just my laptop was giving me an issue with my one little program here. Hey, you tell you what, actually, John, I'm going to throw the microphone over to, oh, very quiet. Okay, let me crank it up a little more here. I think I had my gain down a little bit last night while I was recording some of the stuff. Is that a little better there now? Too hot, or is that okay, Caden? That's better. Okay, all right. Hey, John, here, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to pass this microphone over to you for a second. You've got like 55 things scribbled on your little yellow sheet there anyway. While I get my computer restarted, let the Joker go off the handle here. There was something, I got a message from Kelly in Glasgow. He's looking forward to hearing you sound off a few times down here. So why don't you take the microphone?
Oh, man, this is old school. If you guys could see this, Aaron did the rapid deployment thing here in about 60 seconds, had the laptop go down, and then pulled out his cell phone, hooked up another gizmo. We're going off this hour right now, I think, and put in this microphone, you know, one of the really, really old school microphones, put that in and got this thing up right, I think within like 3 seconds of coming back from the break, man. That was a rapid deployment. It's like, you know, like in Ranger school where they make you break down the AR and put it back together again in 60 seconds, you know, that's like, well, one thing that popped up yesterday is everybody's looking forward to the confirmations of all Trump's nominees, and we've got some really, really key ones that we want to make sure and get in key places. And as you know, one of those people is Pete Hegseth. Well, yesterday they're floating out that you've got Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and Cocaine Mitch McConnell coming out and saying they're going to vote against Hegseth. If that's true, now I haven't heard if we've got actual confirmations from those people out of their mouths that they're not going to do it, but that's what's being floated. If that's true, that brings the vote down to 50, which then would require J.D. Vance to come over and break the tie, so Pete Hegseth would still get in. But then there's also the rumor out there floated that John Fetterman, Senator Slingblade there, might go ahead and vote for Hegseth as well, so then you wouldn't need J.D. Vance to come in and break the tie, but it's all very murky. It does make sense, though, that these three right there would vote against Hegseth. And the problem with it is, people talk about pressure, bringing pressure to bear on them. See, Susan Collins is how old? You know, what is she, 95 now? I mean, you know, she does not care. I don't think she can be pressured by President Trump. McConnell, same
get to here is Murkowski, because obviously she wants to continue her career. And you watch, these three will be a problem all the way through, not just with these confirmations, but with everything else that Trump tries to do, because they are Democrats and just big system rhino Republicans that don't want to go along with any of that, and also want the publicity of being the people that go against the orange man. You know, they enjoy all that. They want to be the McCain Mavericks and all that. That's, they're going to be doing that the whole time. But I had one more. You want me to keep rolling, Aaron? Yeah. Hey, Aaron's still trying to get his
computer's updating and restarting.
He's trying to get this laptop back up. Like I said, we're going old school right now. We're going off a single handheld microphone that is then hooked into Aaron's cell phone. Did you guys see?
And John's got his glasses hanging off the edge of his nose. So I really should get a photo of this. Yeah, let me tell you something about back in my day.
You know, like Al Swearengen said in Deadwood, yes, it has come to this. Yeah. Well, we've talked a little bit about the pardons, and you heard that the media lose their minds over Donald Trump pardoning all the N-words. And I think those conversations are still going on to today. How many days later, them losing their minds, that question is being asked of everybody at every opportunity by the media. But if you recall back, if y'all recall back, going back just after the election from November till now, you had Joe Biden literally pardoning thousands of narcotics traffickers out of federal prison. You had the commuting the sentences of all the federal row death row inmates, commuting the sentences of cop killers, and then his final atrocity, giving pardons out, preemptive pardons to his family and to the criminals within his administration. And the media did not give a rat's ass about any of that, did they? No, they don't care at all. And they were happy that he's pardoning all these scumbag drug traffickers and all these people on death row. And see, I'll tell you some inside baseball on this kind of stuff. You will hear this stuff from the media. They'll try to tell you that these were nonviolent drug offenses that these people were in for. Well, see, let me tell you how that works. Most of these people, if they're in there serving a very, very long sentence for a nonviolent drug offense, what that was these are career criminal, likely in kingpin, head of organization status guys, big, big, big time drug traffickers who finally got caught on, say, that third strike that then allowed the government to finally one time put them away, get them off the street for a very long time. These are legitimate bad guys. Okay, this is not just some poor guy that got caught smoking a joint in the bathroom and because of just draconian drug laws, he got put in jail for 17 years. No, that's not the way it works. That's not how any of this works. Don't ever let anybody in the media tell you that's what happened with these pardons. But anyway, getting back to the point, you saw that the media didn't have any problem with any of that. And it also plays right into the whole thing with the illegal aliens and the border. As Joe Biden spent the entire 4 years of his presidency emptying the jails from around the world, the jails and the insane asylums, onto our shores, onto our streets, what he spent the last 3 months of his presidency doing was emptying our own jails, all the people in our own jails, onto our streets. And we've talked about this a bunch. You cannot mistake any of this. None of this is a mistake. None of this is, oops, we just want to be compassionate with people. This is the intentional victimization of the American people. It is what we call anarcho-tyranny. It is tyranny through anarchy. They are imposing their anarchy on you by just allowing the scum of the third world to victimize you. And God forbid, you come back and try to defend yourself and do anything about it. You're sitting in a jail cell like Daniel Penny up there in New York and being charged with murder or some kind of assault and battery, something like that. It is all intentional. Next topic there. Aaron is still booting up his laptop. Something that popped up here, I think it was 2 days ago, out of Philly. You've got this crazy one of these Soros DAs out of Philadelphia that claims now he's going to go after charges on the January 6ers from a state level. And he immediately got lots of PR behind this and lots of press coverage, which is exactly what he wanted, because the media and the Democrats want somebody out there to say, well, yeah, we're, this is not settled. We're not done. We're going to just keep getting you on it. You know. Okay. Oh, yeah. Break coming up. We will be right back.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And that is what has been so sad and tragic about the last 4 years, is how preventable all these problems are. You can prevent, you know, you can fund the police and you can prevent crimes from happening. We could have prevented this disaster, this invasion at our border, allowing in unvetted terrorists and criminals and murderers and rapists and cartel members and gang members. We could have prevented all of it. All of that could have been prevented. We could have had, you know, an energy policy that would have made the country rich. We could have also involved ourselves in ways to bring peace to Europe and peace to the Middle East, but we didn't have leaders that knew what to do. It's pretty pathetic.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
It's been used as a store of value for thousands of years. It's known as a safe haven asset in times of uncertainty. It's breaking record after record this year, and many economists are predicting it could skyrocket even higher. Of course, I'm talking about the precious metal, gold. Right now, thousands of Americans are looking to precious metals like gold and silver to diversify their savings. Even central banks around the world are stocking up on gold. Is it time you learn more about what precious metals can do for you? Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. Right now, the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, is offering a free gold and silver kit to arm you with the facts about how gold could potentially help safeguard your retirement. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy of the 2025 gold and silver kit free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see sunshine and some increasing clouds across the area later today. High stay around 30 in Bozeman to the mid-30s in Billings. For tonight, cloudy skies with some light snow showers developing overnight as temperatures fall off to about 17 in Bozeman, 23 in Billings. That was some areas of light snow into Friday. Accumulations up to an inch or two expected around the region. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
All right, you said.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszloffy.
A long festering problem in Montana came front and center yesterday when Senate Bill 94 had its debut in the Senate State Administration Committee. The bill, sponsored by Senator John Fuller of Kalispell, seeks to end the practice of public sector union employees attending union meetings at taxpayer expense. Judging by the crowd of witnesses, this bill is highly controversial, to say the least. Proponent testimony came from a fairly small group of think tanks, citizens, and policy organizations, including the Montana Family Foundation. As expected, opponents to the bill formed a line stretching out the door and into the hallway and included every union in Montana. The gist of the bill is this. Unions are private entities that engage in collective bargaining on behalf of their members. Under the current practice, the public sector unions are in effect subsidized by taxpayers because union members receive paid time off to attend union meetings. The most familiar to most of us are school in-service days, where students get the day off while teachers attend training sessions, which in many cases are simply a euphemism for teacher union meetings. While most of the proponent testimony centered on the enormous cost to taxpayers in the form of union subsidies, we had a different dog in this fight. As Derek A. Stryker, Montana Family Foundation's chief legal counsel and director of government affairs, rose to the podium, he explained to the committee that the foundation typically does not engage in these types of bills because they're outside of our normal purview. He then went on to say that this bill in particular does touch on an area important to the foundation because we've received word that some of the taxpayer-subsidized trainings include topics such as diversity, equity, and inclusion, the entire woke agenda, and a full slate of pro-LGBT propaganda. These types of trainings are certainly the union's prerogative. The question is, should taxpayers be forced to fund the spread of these ideas? And the answer is, in our opinion, no. One of the most alarming testimonies came from a young man who attended the Montana Teachers Union Conference back in October, a two-day event billed as an in-service day and funded by taxpayers, which specifically focuses on teacher training. What type of training, you may ask? According to this witness, it was more leftist indoctrination than actual training, and the most alarming portion was a session entitled LGBTQ plus State of the Union. He said the entire session focused on how to teach kids to accept and promote the LGBT lifestyle, and even went so far as to coach teachers on how to help transgender students secretly transition behind their parents' backs. The fact that the union would promote that practice is bad enough and deserves additional scrutiny, but the fact that taxpayers are being forced to pay for this just rubs salt in the wound. Parents send their kids to school to be educated, not indoctrinated, and these types of stories undermine the public's trust. Unions certainly have a place in our society when they focus on fair labor practices. They should not, however, act as a pipeline to disseminate leftist, Marxist, or woke philosophies into the system responsible for educating the vast majority of Montana's children. Senator Fuller, the bill's sponsor, was himself a public school teacher and understands firsthand the dangers of the current system if left unchecked. On the bright side, parents and lawmakers are waking up and pushing back. Blind trust is no longer acceptable. A big spotlight is now shining on our public education system, and in many cases, we don't like what we see. It's time for a change, and ending taxpayer subsidies for the teachers' union is a good place to start. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, great update there by Jeff Laszloffy with the Montana Family Foundation. Yeah, exactly what he talked about there with the woke MFPE union pushing that radical transgender agenda. We exposed all of that full coverage on our Montana Talks website. We had the Freedom Foundation on with the big expose they put together and much more. All right, I'm back up on the laptop here at the SHOT Show. John Jackson and I kicking it off in the 7 o'clock hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Is it deja vu all over again? Remember the talk about cold fusion or room temperature superconductors? We always seem to be hearing about some revolution in technology that never actually gets here. But we're doing it again in our upcoming Economic Outlook seminars for one simple reason. It's already arrived. Many of you use it today, artificial intelligence or AI. Perhaps I even used it to write this. I'll never tell. And the trillions being poured into AI make it a force to be recognized in the coming years. The question is, what does it mean for the economy, especially here in Montana? The idea that we're an island that can safely ignore or dodge this question is fanciful. Montana companies who don't use AI for marketing, strategy, operations, hiring, or any of the dozens of processes it's radically changing will be at a disadvantage to those who do. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.